the most expensive midterm election ever. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. More money will have been spent on Tuesday's elections than on any other midterm election in U.S. history. The Center for Responsive Politics puts it at $5 billion in spending, dwarfing the previous record. And that is just on national races. Forget what's being spent on local ones. But the largest contributions haven't necessarily flowed to the most competitive districts. In fact, Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports the race where candidates have raised the most isn't really even a close one.
Political analysts do not consider California's rural, conservative 22nd congressional district one of the year's key battleground races.
If Democrats win this seat, it's probably suggestive of a just absolutely huge blowout night.
Kyle Condick rates races for the University of Virginia Center for Politics. Still, incumbent Republican Devin Nunes and his Democratic challenger Andrew Janz have raised $20 million. Fresno resident Adam Ellis describes a city inundated with TV ads, mailers, and yard signs.
Crazy. It seems like everybody in my neighborhood has one or the other.
USC political analyst Sherry Bebich Jeffy says she understands why.
The Nunes district is a symbol.
Money is poured in because Nunes is an ally of President Trump and chair of the House Intelligence Committee. Bebich Jeffy says it's no longer a local race, it's
a referendum on Donald Trump.
Making the Nunes seat and a few others like it around the country proxy battles, even if they're not battlegrounds. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow and S&P futures are basically flat. NASDAQ futures up 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.21%. China's president, Xi Jinping, spoke today at the China International Import Expo. It's a trade fair attended by more than 3,000 companies from over 100 countries. He didn't mention the U.S. or President Trump by name, but his criticism of both was clear. She said winner-take-all trade policies that create a law of the jungle internationally were dead ends, and that countries shouldn't always whitewash themselves and blame others. He called for every country to fight against protectionism and build an open economy. President Xi also promised to strengthen intellectual property protection in China to increase imports and reiterated a previously announced plan to cut some tariffs. BBC China correspondent Robin Brandt was at the expo, and he says President Xi's comments are unlikely to satisfy the Trump administration.
No, it won't, because we've heard that message before. There weren't really specifics in there in terms of when these reforms will happen. I mean, look, there were some tangible announcements. They're going to change the equity cap for foreign firms in the medical services and in the education sector, so firms who want to come here from abroad can set up and own more of their company, a pledge to lower those import tariffs, but no specifics on that. And many critics will say we've heard this before from Xi Jinping, and what it does point to is further piecemeal reform in China, but, you know, opening up on China's terms at a pace that China wants.
The BBC's Robin Brandt in Shanghai. Humans continue to spew carbon into the atmosphere, driving climate change, rising sea levels, hotter temperatures. A recent UN climate study says capturing carbon before it enters the atmosphere, or even removing it from the air, is going to be a crucial part of fighting climate change. But once you've caught carbon, where do you put it? From the Marketplace Hub at Houston Public Media, Travis Bubenik reports that researchers on the Texas Gulf Coast are looking into one possibility.
Since the late 90s, Susan Hovorka has been studying how to inject carbon dioxide into the ground.
We would like to be able to accommodate all the carbon emissions, whether they come from coal, oil, gas.
She's a lead researcher at the University of Texas's Gulf Coast Carbon Center, which has already figured out how to store CO2 underground. Their focus now is on how to do it on a much larger scale, under the Gulf of Mexico. Hovorka says it is possible to keep all the carbon emissions from the U.S. out of the air by putting them underground. So why don't we just do that already?
It's free to release CO2 after combustion to the atmosphere at the moment, and it costs money to capture the CO2.
She's not the only one working on this. According to a global nonprofit that works with companies and governments to promote the technology, there are enough available or planned carbon capture facilities worldwide to offset the emissions of almost 8 million cars. Still, you've got to find a way to pay for storing carbon.
There's no return on the investment with just storage.
David Knox is a spokesperson for NRG Energy, which owns the nation's only carbon capture power plant. A pipeline from the plant brings the CO2 to an old ranch. There, it's pumped underground to loosen up rock that produces oil.
Right now, enhanced oil recovery is the only thing that has both the money and the appetite for the huge amounts of carbon dioxide that we're talking about.
UT's research has shown that using the CO2 for oil does offset the carbon emissions in the short term, but as more and more oil is pumped out, that benefit disappears. So harnessing CO2 this way can lead to more CO2. Cost estimates for these projects vary widely. A 2005 report from the Global Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says it can be $5 to $115 per ton of CO2 that's captured. A big range. The NRG project was made possible by a $190 million grant from the Federal Energy Department. University of Houston energy economist Ed Hirsch says the technology is a good start, but won't be used widely until the financing makes sense.
Nobody wants to pay for this.
Hirsch says carbon capture is not going to take off until someone puts a price, aka a tax, on carbon emissions. But he says that's easier said than done.
Every politician knows that if the cost of fuel at the pump or the cost of electricity at the meter goes up, they don't get reelected.
While some environmental groups are encouraged by carbon capture, others don't like the idea that it could just prolong the use of fossil fuels. In Houston, I'm Travis Bubinick for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.